thank you, Lord, for allowing us to wake up another day, Lord God. I just ask that you be able to give Ernie the words to speak to us, Lord God. I ask that you just give him wisdom and just the power to understand all the words that you be giving to him, Lord God. And I ask that you open up our hearts that we be able to receive the word today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will.
Amen.
Bless you, Ernie.
Welcome. Good to see everybody here. Welcome to our visitors. And I probably say this a lot, and maybe you get tired of it, but I just really appreciate our worship team. Could we just give them a hand?
Amen.
Will and Matt, Krista, whoever else is involved here, I just really appreciate it. And maybe when there's times you have to do without something, you learn to appreciate something more. But something I'd like to just lead off with here is, Matt, if you could just stand up. I don't know how many years ago it is that Matt was tapped on the shoulder and asked if he would be willing to lead in worship. I don't know. Dale, do you remember how long ago that is? Is it 3, 4 years? I don't know. Is it 3 years? It's probably longer than I think. Like, it seems like a year or two, but I think it's longer than that. But here's what I see in you, Matt, is you said yes. And I don't think you realize what you were saying yes to, but I think there's something that has been cultivated and stirred up within you that you are now walking in a calling that God has in your life. I don't know if you fully understand it or aware of it. Maybe you are, but I just want to recognize that in you this morning and call it out even deeper and to go further than what you're even currently aware of. And I just really appreciate what you contribute to the worship team. So you can sit down. But here's what I want to point out here is that each one of us, there's something within us. There's a gift that God has put within us. And I guarantee some of you you're sitting here this morning, you don't fully realize what it is. Maybe you're frustrated because you don't know what it is. Let me highlight another person. I don't think she's in here this morning, but Jenny. She said yes a couple years ago to getting involved in the school. And from what I understand of her journey is she was pushing back on it, and finally she just said, "Yes, Lord." And since that time, God's been using her in a way here at school that I'm sure that most of you don't even fully understand or are aware of, but she has a gift in administration like very few people I've ever seen. And when Jenny walks into the room, I'm like, wait, I got to watch what I'm thinking now, because she just, it seems like she just look at me and read my mind. Kidding a little bit, but not really, because there's some truth to that. She's very intuitive. And so if you understand how that plays into her part that she plays here at school, it's huge. And her ability to do that and to minister to the kids, which is really what she's doing, and to the parents, and being that mediator and running the school, making sure the teachers are okay and everything's flowing smoothly. It's not just anybody could do that. And so some of you in here are looking at Matt and Krista and Will up here, and you're like, if only I could just, you know, I just want to be a worship leader like they do. I just want to play I just want to be a musician like they are. And here's the thing. When God gives us a call, when God gifts us with something in our life, when God imparts gifts to us, it's not for our own benefit, it's for the benefit of others. So can you see how this is working? you have the worship team here. God's gifted them with abilities, okay? And so they are using that to usher in the presence of God, for you to experience worship hopefully in a greater degree. So it's not just about you, Matt. It's what you're bringing. It's what you're leading people into. It's not just what it does for Jenny in having her feeling fulfilled. It's what she's doing for a lot of children and parents as well. So God gives us these gifts to impact others and to build his kingdom. There's another area, and when I I know there's a number of business owners in here. And so sometimes you feel like your role is not really that important. God has given you an avenue wherewith you can create income. Steve, I see you back. Could you stand up? I don't know why, but your name was just came to me when I was studying about this. So that's why I'm asking you to stand. Now, if you remember a couple months ago, I don't know how long it was, Steve was asked to share the message up here. And I don't know if you remember what he said, but one of the things he first said is, I'm extremely uncomfortable up here. It's not my thing, okay? Do you remember he said that? I'm sure you remember you said that. So here's one thing that I do see in Steve, and probably most of you don't see this, but I've half-ish been around Steve for, you know, he was in Romania for a while. I got to see some of that journey, and so I've been around him for a number of years, and then he comes home and works in his dad's business, and what I see you do in that business, Steve, is, and here again, I don't know all the inside stuff, but I just from an outside perspective, I see God has given you the ability to grow a team of people who is working together, and you've been able to create and form up a company that is prospering and that is moving forward. And I want to call that out in you. And I want you to walk in that confidently and with boldness, because God may not have gifted you with the calling to speak and to teach, but he's gifted you in other areas, and I believe that's one area, and I just want you to walk in that confidently. So thank you. You can sit down. But here's what I see. There's others in here, okay? There's others in here who have been called to make income, and you're kind of feeling like guilty. You know what? There's just something you feel guilty. There's just money pouring in, and you kind of feel guilty about it. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Hopefully not. But anyway, I've been around some of our circles long enough to know that that is the case with some people. Here's what I want to tell you is that God has gifted you with that for a reason. Now, when you look at the Lancaster Ministries here and what we... What I see happening, or what I see could happen, okay, it's going to take a tremendous amount of funds. It's going to take a tremendous amount of vision and effort. And whenever you want to accomplish something great, it takes money. I don't care what angle you look at it, it takes money. It takes people who are gifted in administration. It takes people who are gifted in leading worship. It takes people who have the gift of making money and to provide the resources for that. I believe that we are entering a phase or an age, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, in our country, and let's just apply it locally in Lancaster, where God is going to want to move in ways he's never moved before. You've heard me say this before, so it's not new, but he wants to move in ways we don't even understand yet. And so as you recognize your gifting and your calling, it's important that you walk in it so that when that time comes that you're in place to work and move the way that he wants you to make that happen. Does that make sense? So we can't all be musicians. We can't all be businessmen. We can't all be administrators. We can't all be teachers. You understand? But as we recognize each other's gifts and as we recognize the gifts that God has put on our life, that we walk in it and we walk boldly in it. All right, where's my notes here? Your gift is given to you for the benefit of others. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect not the gift that is within you. Don't neglect it. And I think we need to be more active in calling it out of each other. There's things that we probably see in each other's lives that the individual doesn't even see. And we need to be active in calling that out. I don't know if Matt saw himself being a worship leader 3 years ago. But he was called out. And all of a sudden, it's like it stirs something up, okay? 2 Timothy 1:6 says, stir up the gift which is in you. So it's already there. It's something God has already given you. You just need to activate it. And if you don't know it's there, if you don't know what it is, how are you going to activate it? Happy is the man who walks in his gifting and calling. Outside of that, he's going to be miserable. If I try to be somebody else, I'm going to be pretty miserable. If I see somebody else's gifting and I really want, like, I would want that. I would want to do that. I'm going to be miserable, okay? God hasn't equipped me with what he has equipped that other person to walk where he's called to walk. He has equipped me with something else. And that I need to stir up, need to wake it up, need to seek it out. If you don't know what it is, go after it. Seek it out. Where are you comfortable? What makes you come alive? And a lot of times that will tell you what your gifting, what your calling is. We have experienced in the past, maybe that's not the right way to say it. Okay, there's a couple different groups of within the Christian circles, there's a couple different groups. One of them is they're real heavy on character. Like, there's a lot of emphasis on character, building character, but they don't really accept the power. Then there's others who are embracing the power and seeking the power, and that's what they go after, but the character is lacking. And so I believe what God wants to do and what God wants to accomplish, what God is able to accomplish, when we have those two in alignment with each other, I think we have yet to understand. We have yet to understand what God can do when we are folk. We are absolutely, we want character. We are people of character, but we embrace the power that God wants to give to us. It's crucial. We can't just go through life thinking that we can live a good life and everything else is going to fall in place. It's not. We have to go after it. We got to seek it. And if we don't want to embrace everything that God has for us, we're going to be missing out. God's going to raise other people up to accomplish what he wants to accomplish if we don't step in place with what he has called us to. Do you want to be part of it or do you want to be left behind? And I believe that as people of God, we need to step up. We need to go after the things that God has for us. His word is chock full of the promises that half of the time we're not accessing. We're not accessing the promises and the power that's here. We just gloss over and we think it's not for us. It is for us. It's for us today. And we need to access it boldly and confidently. We live in a time when we're surrounded with people who they want to keep. Let me back up a little bit. All right, let's back up some more yet. Go back to the song that we sang this morning. Dale already highlighted this. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Okay. Now, what was the other phrase in that song? It said, my fears are drowned. Can you finish it? In perfect love. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Do you know what 1 Timothy verse 1:6, I think it is, says? Maybe it's 2 Timothy. Anyway. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, it's but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, how many people around us try to drown that out? Do you know what it means to be? Do you know what it means to have a sound mind? If you're walking around in depression, do you have a sound mind? If you're walking around in fear, do you have a sound mind? Are you just enveloped with love? If you're walking around in fear, are you experiencing power? If you're crippled by fear, are you able to experience power? Does God want you to experience power? Absolutely. Does God want you to experience a sound mind? Does he want you to be filled with that perfect love that's going to be able to reach out, that's going to be able to go out and make a difference, make an impact? But as long as you're suppressed by that fear, you will be hindered in all of those areas. And we live in a society that is rampant with fear. You take the incident that happened last night in Charlotte, Virginia. You know there are people that are just crippled with fear over that thing. And that happens all across this country, and people are being crippled, and it's not just the world. It's Christians, it's people of God who need to stand up to this stuff and say no, and embrace the power and the authority that's given to us. We're the ones who should be shining. This is our time to shine. This is our time when we should be rising up. And the world should be looking at us. We got the answer. But where do they turn to? They turn to drugs. They drown it out. They're trying to access their power through other things. It's not working. We have what is working. We have the truth. We have the source of power. We have the source of love. We have the source of a sound mind. Too many Christians are willing to bow down to that and take depression meds and whatever else it is. I don't believe it's of God. I'm not saying it's never necessary to get on top of it, but I don't believe we should just accept that. I have family who has just accepted that. They just walk through life. They just think that's just how it's going to be. The rest of my life, I have to take this dose of whatever it is. And I'm telling you, it's not truth. It is not truth. God does not want us to be bound by that stuff. He wants to be free. We are no longer slaves to fear. We have been drowned out in perfect love. Oh my goodness. Let me talk about boldness a little bit. So the definition of boldness is showing an ability to take risks, confident and courageous. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I can find it. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now I'm going to read on, but I just want to highlight this a little bit. What do you think about when you think about the word of God? Is this the word of God? Absolutely it is. Is it limited to this? Absolutely not. We can get so hung up on the written word of God, and if we're not in tune with the author of this word, we're going to be missing half of it. We're going to be missing most of it. If we don't know the author, how are we supposed to really grab a hold of what he's trying to say? The word of God is living and powerful. It's God through his spirit wanting to speak to you directly today, and sometimes he uses his word, and sometimes he uses people, and sometimes he speaks directly to you. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what do you think of when you think of grace? I want to hear some definitions. What do you think of when you think of grace? What is it?
Forgiveness?
Undeserved favor?
Power to live in alignment with God?
Wow. That's one I don't hear too much. But it's true. It is grace. It is unmerited favor. It is forgiveness. But it's also power. It's also the power to engage and to allow. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace is an active word there, okay? And so it indicates that there's power that's given. There's power that's involved there. Let's talk about boldness. When was the last time, and please hear me out, I'm not knocking anything, I'm just making a point here, okay? When was the last time you heard somebody pray, God, if this is your will, this is what I would want to happen. If not prayed against your will, this is what I would want to happen. Do you understand that as people of God, as children of God, you have the authority to set things in motion on earth? And God is not going to bypass you because he has given you the authority on earth. He's not going to bypass you to make something happen. It's through his children that he makes things happen. Thank you. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. And I just want us to understand what we have access to. I don't want us to go through life being wimps. I want us to go through life being bold and accessing what we have access to. Because it's what God intended for us, but too many of us are just settling. We're settling for the norm. We're settling for average. God has not called us to a life of average. When you look at average, it's not what I want. It's not what he's called us to. He's called us beyond that. We're his children. We're called out. And if you want to look at some of the promises in his word that he said that you have, because you are his child, it is mind-blowing what you have access to. But we're okay with just being wimps and saying, God, whatever you want. Now, is there a point where we just say, God, whatever you... Yes, we are. There is a point. We are submitted to what God has for us. We are... It's not that we're proud and arrogant and we think we're taking things in control into our own hands. It's not that. Humility is not being a doormat. Humility is not just allowing everything around us to walk over us for the spirit of whatever that just wants to take control of our life and our family and our neighborhood and our cities. It's not just being a doormat to that and being okay with it. It's rising up and coming against that. Why? Because we are children of God. It's because of his power within us that we're able to do that. It's not because of us. If it's because of us, then I have reason to become proud. It's not because of me. It's not because of you as a child of God. And so we are being squashed because if I rise up and if I become bold, it looks like I'm being proud. It looks like I'm not being humble. Stop it. It's not about being humble. It's about being active in the kingdom of God. It's about walking in boldness, coming boldly to the throne of grace coming boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is our hour. This is our time to rise up. The spirit of religion is well known for this. And it makes me sick when I see it. But there are so many professing Christians around us who are being squelched by this spirit of religion, and it wants that fear. It uses fear every single time to control and manipulate, and it's wrong. It is wrong because it's keeping people down. They're not able to rise to their full potential. God doesn't want you being subdued by that stuff. It's not people. It's a spirit. And when that spirit of fear comes along, exactly what we talked about earlier happens. And it's not of God. We could go into a number of scriptures and examples in the Bible that talked about people who were bold. Let's just take Moses for one example. Now, here was Moses who was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of a life of sin, or what was typified as sin, into the land of plenty, land of milk and honey. So you know how it went. Gone through the wilderness, the children of Israel just complained and murmured and brought false reports back from the spies, brought false reports back from the land of Canaan. They said, we can't go. And because of all that stuff, they were stuck in the wilderness. And finally, God got fed up and he said, enough! I'm going to do away with these people. And from you, Moses, I will raise up a people after my own heart. Not sure if those are the words there, but that's the thought. So here God's going to wipe out these people, and he's going to raise up from Moses a people that is willing to follow God. What did Moses do? He's like, oh, great. All these people have caused me all these problems all these years. I'm sick of them. Yes, God. That wasn't Moses' approach at all. So God said he wanted to do something, and Moses said, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Not so fast, God. What kind of courage do you think Moses had to be able to stand up to God like that? Showing an ability to take risks, confident and courageous. So Moses said, wait a minute. This is what's going to happen. You showed all these miracles, all these signs and wonders, and the lands around you are seeing it and are terrified. But if they hear that you wipe out your people that you did all these miracles through, what are they going to say? And he went on to intercede for the children of Israel. And God backed down. God backed down. He saved the children of Israel. He extended grace. He heard Moses cry. And I just think that's amazing. That Moses had the courage when God said, enough. He said, whoa, hold off, God. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you had an opportunity to stand in the gap for somebody and you saw something happening? It could be anything. And you said, no, this is not happening under my watch. Are you any different than Moses? Are you any different than Moses? Abraham did the very same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, these people are so wicked, they are beyond repair. I'm going to destroy them with fire and brimstone. Abraham came to God and said, wait a minute, God, wait a minute here. What if there's 50 righteous people in this city? Would you still destroy it? Come on, God. It's just 50. Whatever the number was, I'm not even sure it was 50. So God said, God backed down. He said, okay, if there's 50 people in here, I won't destroy it. And Abraham thinks a little bit, and he's like, I don't know if there's 50 people in there. Maybe there's 30. There might be 30. Hey, God, what about 30? Would you destroy it even if there's 30? He's challenging God here. And God backs down. He says, okay, there's 30 righteous people in here. I won't destroy it. And Abraham's still not convinced that there'd be 30 righteous people. This city must have been bad. And it came all the way down to 10. And God said, okay, because you were bold enough to ask, I won't destroy it if there's 10 righteous people in this city. Well, you know what happened? There was not 10 righteous people in that city, and God ended up destroying it, but he did save Lot and his family. At least attempted to. That was Abraham. What about David when he went up against Goliath? Oh my goodness. This is a Bible story that we read, and our children love it. It's the story of David and Goliath. How this shepherd boy came out and killed this giant with a stone in a slingshot. But do you understand all the dynamics that were going on here? David came out against formidable odds, came to this army, and here's an entire army quaking in fear. What does fear do? Paralyzes you. You can't move. You can't think rationally. It paralyzes you. So here they are, shaking and trembling in the face of this giant who's saying, I want to have a match one-on-one with one of you guys, and whoever wins, you will become our slaves or our servants or whatever the deal was. Bargaining with the people of God. So what did David see when he came on the scene here? What was it that he saw that really provoked something within him? Do you know what it was? Goliath was coming against the name of the Lord, and he was cursing him. What? It's in 1 Samuel 7. I want to read that. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said, okay. I can find what Saul was spewing out of his mouth. And I'm sorry, I did not highlight that, so it's going to take me too long to find it. But in essence, he was cursing God, and he was like, who's your God? Why don't you send somebody out here to fight against me? And so David, in his mind, was standing up for the name of the Lord. Because his God, whom he came to trust and understand and have a relationship with out in the fields, all that time, he was out there cultivating that relationship. And he comes into this environment and he hears Goliath cursing God. And he's like, wait a minute. I'm not going to put up with this. This can't be happening. And he looks around, and he sees his brothers, and he sees the entire army just putting up with it. Not only are they just putting up with it, they're trembling with fear. And he says, enough, I'll take him on. I'll go take him one-on-one. And that was when Goliath started making fun of him. Come on here, I'll take your whatever and feed it to the dogs. And David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord my God. Here again, it wasn't about David. It was about God. And it was about what God had placed inside of David. And that is the key, my friends. It's the key. It's not about us. And when we make it about us, that's when it turns to pride. That's when David could become puffed up. Because, I killed this Goliath. Now, did he get a lot of accolades for that? Absolutely he did. But I don't think he took it personally because he understood who he was. He understood whose he was and who he was fighting for and what he was defending. When's the last time you defended something that was really coming against your God? When's the last time you stood up to something and you said, no way. Not under my watch. You have what David had. You worship the same God. You have the same power inside of you. What's keeping you from standing up? And I can guess, I can predict almost 99% it's fear. If you see a situation like that, what's keeping you from stepping in? It's fear. What's somebody going to think? What's this person going to think? I'm going to look like a fool. Now, am I just by saying this? Look, I'm preaching. I'm hearing myself talk too, okay? I'm not saying I do this all the time. I'm hearing myself talk. I need this. But God wants us to stand up for his name. It's not our name we're protecting. It's not our ministry. It's not our church. It's not about me. It's about him. If we make it about me, we're going to go down. It's not about us. It's so much bigger than that. A couple other these I love. What about the widow who wouldn't give up? She came to the judge and just kept bugging her and bugging him and bugging him about this adversary that was coming against her. And she's just like, come on, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. He's bugging me, whatever. So she come to this judge, and he was like, finally, I had enough of it, taking care of it. But she had the boldness to come to the judge again and again and again. It wasn't just once, and judge, if it be your will. I'm sorry. But really, would have the judge moved on her behalf if that's what she'd have done? If she would have come and said, judge, I'd really want this adversary moved out of my life. Could you please do it? And walked away and said, whatever, Lord. She kept coming back and kept coming back with boldness, showing an ability to take a risk, confident and courageous. And guess what? He took care of it. There's another account in the Gospels that talks about a woman that had an issue. She had a flow of blood that wouldn't stop, and it was just ongoing. She had spent her entire savings trying to get this fixed up, and one of the Gospels says it actually got worse. The more she did, it actually got worse. And she was like, if only I could get to touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. Now, you have to understand who she was. Okay, she was a Jew. And anybody that had an issue of blood was unclean. Now, think about the amount of courage that it took for her to step out into a crowd of people. And according to some of the verses that followed it, this crowd was so tight that you couldn't walk through it without bumping against somebody. Now, you were not supposed to get, if anybody touched you and you had an issue, you had a flow of blood, that person was unclean. Now, do you know how much people tried to stay away from that? If there was anything gone, any kind of disease, you were unclean for any reason, they wanted to stay away from you because they didn't want that. So here she is, navigating her way through this crowd. If only I can get to Jesus. If only I can touch the hem of his garment. If only I can get there, I know I could be healed. She makes her way through this crowd, just touches the hem of his garment, and is instantly healed. Why do you think that was? What about the guys who brought their friend to Jesus to be healed? He couldn't walk. They brought him on a bed, and when they got to the place where Jesus was, it was so crowded, there was no way they were going to get in. So what did they do? They crawled up on the roof. They cut a hole in the roof, destroying somebody else's property. I mean, just think through that a little bit. The boldness and courage that it would take to do that. This is somebody else's house. You're cutting a hole in the roof. And you're dropping a man down in front of Jesus, in front of everybody. Think about the courage that took and the boldness. But what was the result? I think God likes when we're bold. That's kind of what I'm picking up here. He likes when we step out in faith. He likes when we challenge him. I don't know if it's challenge the right word. But I think he wants us to act boldly because of who we are. I didn't really look at this, but I'm just thinking about it now. Was there any time in the Bible when people were just really wimpy and God just came through for them? I don't know. I had to look into that. And then you have the apostles. I'm going to have to stop. The apostles and their boldness to proclaim the truth. And here's what I see happen with the apostles. They were just common men. They were just ordinary fishermen, farmers, I don't know, whatever they were. We know some of them were fishermen, tax collectors, whatever. But they just had normal, typical jobs. And something got a hold of them. And they changed from being just this average, we're going out to fish today, whatever we catch, great. If we have a good day, it'd be even better. To being people, to being men who were on fire and passionate. But why? It was because the Spirit of God got a hold of them and were able, they were open, okay? They were open to it first of all. And the Spirit of God got a hold of them, transformed them. It transformed them. Maybe this is where it all starts. I don't know. Maybe the reason that we're lacking in power is because we've not been seeking after it. Maybe the reason we don't move boldly is because we don't have the Spirit of Christ within us. Maybe it's because we've not availed ourselves to what everything that's available for us. Maybe, just maybe. But I see that connection very plainly with the apostles here and what changed and how things changed when they got filled with the Spirit of God and how radically it changed their lives. They went from being these average fishermen to being men who were absolutely on fire for the kingdom of God. I believe that's what God wants to do to each one of us here. It doesn't matter where we're at in life. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter what family you're a part of, where you come from. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter because God's grace covers that. If you repent and you believe, it's gone just like that. It's nothing that you can work for or earn. It's unmerited favor. And some of you are being held back by that. There's something in your life that's just not quite right, and you're afraid to go forward because of that. It's already paid for. It's already done. You don't have to worry about it. You can't do enough to earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's already paid for. Just accept it. And then allow God to transform your life and use you in a way that is beyond your wildest imaginations. I'm excited to partner with a group of people who gets a hold of this and who's willing to step out in spite of fear. And by the way, being bold doesn't necessarily, there's no fear there at all. It means you push through the fear. You got to push through it. And if you're not willing to push through it, you're not going to experience what's on the other side. Father, I pray that you would take these words and you would apply them to each one of our lives. You see exactly where we're at. You see exactly where each one of our hearts are at. And I pray, Father, that out of this group, you would raise up people who are bold and fearless for your name. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are in us. We want to be part of building your kingdom, Father. We don't just want to be bystanders. We don't just want to observe. We don't want to just see what they've done in the past. The great biographies that we've read about in the past. We don't just want to hear about them. We want to be a part of it. And so, Father, move in us, move amongst us. For your name's sake, amen.
Wow, good stuff. Amen. Thank you, Ernie, for sharing and your heart and just talking a lot about fear and potential of power and experiencing power and moving forward and going with boldness. And I really appreciated the way that you closed with prayer as well. And just the things that you spoke or things that you heard that God would take that and use it for his glory. So bless you as you go from here, and just being more bold in pursuing less fear and pursuing boldness. And also, he also talked about the main thing of just also in the way in the beginning of having a relationship with the writer of the Bible. Having an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father is also very important. And just thinking of getting into communion as well, you know, not only Jesus, obviously Jesus was a human being in person, but after he died and rose again and went to heaven, then he sent the Holy Spirit, which is so much better. And so we can experience that today. So I'm grateful for that. But before we get there, we're just going to do the offering. And Malin has a missions moment. So we're going to do the offering now. And then Malin's going to do the missions moment. And then we'll go into communion from there. So let's have a word of prayer. Will, do you have the... we'll do the offering now. The offering this morning is for the building fund. And... while the offering's being passed, Malin, I'll let you come up. But let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you don't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And Father, I speak that to each one of us here, that we would experience more power, we would experience more love, we would experience a sound mind that comes through you, and we would experience more of an intimate relationship with you. So Father, thank you for the words we heard this morning. Thank you that it's possible. Lord, I'm grateful for the building this morning, and Father, as we give to the building fund, I speak a blessing on the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Malin, if you want to come up and share your missions moment while the offering is being passed, that'd be great. So the offering this morning is for the building fund.
All right, good morning, everyone. This morning, I have a couple of prayer requests from Lauren and Miriam. I'll just read it. It wasn't quite as long as it is sometimes, so I'll read it this morning. He said, we started a new school year, and they're all new students, and we're teaching English, which is new for us, so